Welcome to this week's edition of Dugout Dish Podcast. I'm Andy Kirikides. Joined by my co-host Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Great. How are you?
Stellar opening. Had to clear the old throat there mid.
It's a way to kick off episode 100 of the Longs.
Yeah, right. But first off, episode 100. We're going to spend the next hour and a half patting ourselves on our back for how hard we've worked. And we'll probably praise all our support. And yeah, no, just kidding. No, but seriously, 100 episodes, 100 long episodes. It's been pretty freaking cool. Ton of awesome interviews. Talked about a lot of different topics. Our quote-unquote fan base continues to grow, and we hope it continues to grow even more here over the next year. But yeah, kind of cool. 100 episodes.
It's awesome. It's, you know, when you and I started doing this 2.5 years ago or whatever, you know, almost 2 years ago, I shouldn't say 2.5 because, you know, we release one a week. So by math, it's 2 years ago. You know, it was just a, you know, we just wanted to chop it up on here with our friends and see where it took us, you know, and doing it every week and interviewing all the people we have and, you know, being able to have people reach out to us and ask questions and, you know, ultimately, you know, help as many people as we can. It's been awesome. So, you know, thank you to everyone who listens. Justin, our wonderful producer who puts this all together for us. He's a rock star. Hopefully he's dropping bombs at men's league indoor softball tonight, but I'm rooting for him. So, you know, it's, you know, our wives, everyone else that we'll get off the thanks to everyone, but without those two holding down the fort with our kids, I don't know if we'd be able to do this every night. So it's awesome.
Hell yeah, brother. How many interviews have we done to this point?
That's a great question. I believe I have it right in front of me. So give me 1 second. We have done 45 interviews. And we have, for those that are wondering, because it's literally right here in front of me, we have another 1, 2, 3. We have another 4 on the books. So we'll be up to 49 by opening weekend of the Division I baseball season. And try to line up a couple more after that too. So we'll be soaring past 50 here very soon from an interview standpoint.
We've had some good ones on. For the steady listeners, you've heard them, but we've had everybody from SEC pitching coaches to high academic Division III coaches and everywhere in between. So go back, listen to them. Ton of good content there. But for today's episode 100, we're going to talk about life as a college baseball player. We both lived it. Some things have changed since we played. We both coached it for 26 combined years. But I think it's important to talk a little bit about what it looks like, the level of commitment required, and what the expectation is kind of when you get there. Playing college baseball is a very worthwhile dream. It's something that if you're serious about this, it's an experience that you'll look back on, and those 4 years will probably be some of the favorite years you ever live in your life. I can certainly say that, and I know you can too. But it's a lot more work than I think a lot of people recognize or fully realize. And we're going to take some time here tonight to kind of break some stuff down. We're going to talk about what a typical day looks like for a college baseball player. And then we're going to talk about the fall season and the spring season. And hopefully what this does is it provides some information as to what it's like. But hopefully what this does, at least my hope, is that it frames up the level of commitment you need to have now in order to get to where you want to go. Because at the end of the day, if you're looking to be a college baseball player, you need to start to implement things that college baseball players are doing in their daily lives into your daily lives. And you need to understand exactly what you're getting into, because it is not for everybody. That's why it's so selective. But if you have an idea of what you're getting into, I think education is key to this whole process. So hopefully we can shed some light on this. Anything else you want to add to that, my opening statement?
No. Nailed it.
All right. Let's start small. Let's try to break down kind of like a 24-hour day for a college baseball player. And obviously these are some generalities, but I think that this holds pretty true for most guys. So you got a 24-hour day. You listen to Dr. Dan Taylor's talk a couple episodes back. Sleep is absolutely 100% vital. There's a lot of teams that track this with their players, but we'll ballpark it out. You need to get 8 hours of sleep. So immediately you got 8 hours off the books. Typical day, you're going to have 3 to 4 hours worth of class time. Getting to class, being in class, transitioning to another class, we'll call it 3 or 4 hours. Roughly 2 hours of studying may differ depending on your workload and what you got going on, but we'll ballpark it at two. You've got 5 to 6 hours of baseball time, and that's going to include any pre-work, any post-practice work, your actual practice time, time in the locker room, time in the weight room. But we'll call it 5 or 6 hours there. And then generally, you're going to spend 2-3 hours eating, nutrition. It might seem a little bit high, but trust me, you will sit in the cafeteria for an hour almost every time you get in there. That leaves you with, basically 2 or 3 hours, maybe on a light day, 4 hours to yourself. But that's kind of the standard day. And when you start to do the math on it, it's one heck of a commitment. And that's really the bare minimum in terms of what you need to understand from a day-to-day basis. Anything you want to add to kind of that daily routine?
No, I think that's, obviously it's a general statement, right? Like there's going to be days where you have a little bit more free time than others, but for the most part, that's what a day in a life is going to look like a little bit for most college baseball players.
It's a lot. And that first semester, and we've talked about this with a bunch of coaches, but like that first semester can be a little bit eye-opening. Because I think one of the things that is important to understand is that this is all a schedule that you have to execute somewhat on your own. And you need to be able to go through a day independently and be able to make sure you get to class, make sure that you do your study time. Your baseball stuff's going to be mandatory for the most part, right? The pre-work, post-work, it's not quote unquote mandatory, but let's be honest, every good player that I ever coached, if we got practice at 2 o'clock, they're at the field at 12:30 if they're available, bare minimum. A lot of those guys are there at 11:30. They're going to get an hour's worth of work in. They're going to eat. They're going to get into the training room. So that 5-6 hours, that can turn to 7 or 8 real quick. But you got to be able to navigate that independently. And for a lot of guys, that can be a real shock to the system because you're coming from an environment where mom's waking you up. Food's sitting there waiting for you. Your day's pretty scheduled out. In college, it's a little bit more freeform and you have the independence and you need to be able to be accountable to your class time, your study time, your baseball time, food. Make sure you're getting enough sleep, and you still need to be able to manage the social time. So it's a lot. And the quicker you understand that being able to navigate the day-to-day college life is really important to your long-term success and frame up what that day looks like, I think it sets you up for success.
Yeah, I think one thing too is the class component can be a tad bit overwhelming earlier in your career. It's generally speaking, you'll find that the older you get in college, I don't necessarily want to say the easier it gets, but it does get a little bit easier because you're deeper into your major, you're taking classes and doing things that you're very interested in doing. As opposed to, if you're a history major like I was, having to grind out math class on Tuesday night after practice and stuff, like it can be a little daunting when it's not necessarily something that you love and you're not really interested in. So you know, it, the class component can be a little bit more because that, you like, you know, you talk about free time and stuff like that might, like you might need tutoring in those classes. And I don't, I forgive me if I missed this, but I like, we, did we add in study hall into those hours as well?
I guess you could lump that into the 2 hours of study, but yeah, I mean, most freshmen, you're going to be in a mandatory study hall.
Right. Which, you know, generally speaking, we'll say is like 6 hours for the week, right? It's not like 6 hours a day. You know, but you're going to have to probably hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 hours a week, depending on your academics, to make sure that you're doing it. So like, you know, like, no, in most places, tutoring and, you know, is that RPI, there's supplemental instruction, which is a little bit different than tutoring. It's kind of group tutoring. But those things kind of count towards tutor or towards study hall as well. Can, I should say, I don't want to speak for every school out there. You know, but those things, those are something. And again, to your point of like, you're on your own, you got to do these things. You kind of got to figure it out a little bit. You know, I think a little bit earlier in your career, being like understanding that you're probably going to have to spend a little bit more time from an academic standpoint on those things, because you might not really enjoy some of the classes you have to take in order to graduate early on in your career. Whereas as you get older, you know, you know how to play the game. B, you know, you're taking the majority of classes of things that you really enjoy doing, you know, so you like going to class, you like doing the work, you like learning those things. It gets to be not necessarily easier again, but it's stuff that you like to do. So it doesn't necessarily seem as tough or as much of a grind, even though I hate that term, for those classes. So, you know, I think that's one thing, you know, that I just kind of wanted to kind of nail down when it gets to the college end of things. And, you know, again, I spent 10 years at RPI, where it's one of the toughest undergraduate programs in the country. And it's all, I shouldn't say all, but it's generally STEM faced for the majority of the kids there. So, you know, differential equations and CAD and, you know, physics and all the other things that you have to do that can be a little bit more difficult, can really put a little bit more of a damper on your free time, if you will.
Differential equations. Geez, I'm glad I wasn't an engineer. I don't know if I could have handled that.
It just sounds awful.
Yeah. That sounds like a challenging course. As far as the fall, right, there's going to be, and this is, we're speaking about Division I right now, and we'll touch on Division II and Division III. The level of commitment varies a touch, but we'll give you an idea. Individuals are separate from this window, right? So there's usually going to be an individual period where you're working with your coaches, doing individual work, small group work, that kind of leads into this window. But basically in the fall, there's a 45-day window where you can conduct your team activities. 20 hours a week are allowed on the field. So you've got 45 days where you're getting after it from a baseball perspective. That's not including your lifts. Those lifts are going to be an important part of it. Most programs in the fall are going to be lifting 3, sometimes 4 times a week. Depends on workload, depends on where guys are in their phase. But the fall is oddly busy. And practices are intense. And I think that that's a huge transition for a lot of guys when they actually get to college, is that they've never actually practiced like a college player practices. They're intense work. It's teamwork. Things are down to the minute. There's philosophies being implemented. There's different levels of plays that are being put into place, whether it's bunt Ds or cuts and relays. You're going to get in your base running philosophy, your offensive philosophy. Pitchers are going to be working closely with their pitching coach on what they need to work on. And then more importantly, you play a lot. Coaches use that 45-day window to try to figure out who is going to be ready to go and who's going to play a big role in our spring season. So there's a ton of live at-bats, ton of live scrimmages, and the compete factor is super, super high in the fall. Not to mention that you are going to play some outside games. I know they're trying to move to 4. I believe you have 2 versus outside competition now. But that 45-day window when you get on campus, that's an intense window where the competition is completely internal. The expectations and the just kind of the pace and the intensity of it is very, very different from what most high school kids have ever experienced from a practice perspective. Most high school practices, you go get your BPA and guys play catch, you take some ground balls. In college, it is very, very different. And that alone can be a big learning curve for a lot of kids, is just figuring out how to go about practice on a daily basis. Never mind all the other stuff that we just talked about with classes and eating and social life and sleeping. Those 5 to 6 baseball hours are intense.
Yeah. The fall is where, you know, you really get your introduction into college baseball. You know, the lifting, the practicing, the everything it is that you're doing is a hell of a lot more in depth than anything it is that you've ever really gone through to that point in your life. You know, so it's really an eye-opening experience for younger guys. And the sheer amount of time that you're going to spend on the field from a practice standpoint, and then, you know, you're going to inter-squad a ton in the fall. You know, there's a lot of gameplay to be had, you know, and you might find yourself on a Saturday playing 16 straight innings and there's no break. Like, you are just going to let it rip for a good 6 hours on the field, which can be a little bit of a shock to the system for younger players. but it is a place where, you know, coaches are really going to be able to kind of nail down, you know, the who they think are going to be the guys that are going to really help them in the spring. You know, so you'll obviously have your fall exit meetings at the end and talk about those types of things and what you need to work on. You know, and do guys make jumps? Yeah. Do guys have bad falls and everyone knows they're going to have good springs? Yeah. And vice versa. You know, guys have, you know, phenomenal falls and then they're just not good in the spring. You know, so it's not necessarily the be all end all for everybody when it comes to what goes on in the fall, but A, it's going to be a little bit more of a shock to the system than something it is that you've dealt with before. But it also gives a little bit of a snapshot for the coaching staff to, you know, see who takes instruction, who's coachable, where you're at, where are your deficiencies, how do we bring those deficiencies along a little bit faster, because you do some things that we think can really play and we want you to be successful on the field for us. You know, what do we need to do in order to get this kid to the spot where he can, you know, get some burn and throw some innings or carve out a spot to be in the lineup? And conversely, like, hey, where's this guy at? Like, he didn't have a great fall. What are the things it is that he needs to do and work on so that we can develop him into a guy who, you know, can help us in the spring, but ultimately moving forward is a guy who might be a big cog in our wheel over the course of the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. You know, so it's, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, I would say that for the most part, it's probably going to be a little bit more lax, if you will, than the spring. It doesn't mean it's less intense. It doesn't mean it's less, you know, competitive. But I say that from the standpoint of, like, you're generally not playing somebody every weekend, right? Like, you're really just playing yourselves. And it's, when done correctly, in my personal opinion, like, it fosters a space in which it's okay to fail and screw up and, you know, do things wrong so that it can be coached, so that we don't make those mistakes in the spring, you know, and you'll see a lot of that happens during the gameplay stuff where, like, you know, you probably won't have coaches. You might have TrackMan or Rapsodo up calling balls and strikes, or catchers are calling strikes, and coaches are walking around the field. The pitching coach is standing with the pitchers on the mound, and, you know, coaches are out in the outfield and in the infield watching gameplay to talk about, like, hey, in that situation with a runner on second and a ball in the gap, we need to set up this, you know, depending on what your field is. Like, hey, it's short porch down to right. Like, we don't need to double cut down there on our home field. Just something that we want to keep in mind. We'll talk about this later, but, like, it's 280 to right field. We don't need a double cut coming home. Like, we can just send our, you know, we're going to send our second baseman out there and he can turn and wheel home if need be. You know, things like that where, you know, you can really coach in the moment and you know, it's a little bit more, I say, lax from the standpoint of just, like, you're not playing anybody and you want to force failure so that you can coach guys up. So maybe lax isn't the best word, but
I'd say different. What I'm driving at. Like, you're going to have coaches on the field. Like, you're not going to operate as independently. There's opportunity to stop a scrimmage, coach up a play, you know, be able to get that information across. A lot of coaches do it different. Sometimes, you know, you'll be taking notes, and then after practice or before the next day's practice, you kind of rehash some stuff, like, you know, a specific play, specific instance. But I think what you're getting at is that you get coached. Like, you get coached hard in the fall on the X's and O's, on the positioning of it, on the style of play, on the intensity of play. You know, that's a place where you can really coach guys on how you want things to be done. This is how we do things. And coaches are going to take advantage of that window. And yeah, there's a certain level of experimentation. It's a little bit of a different environment, but I think the intensity level is the same. It's just the outcomes are, they're not measured in wins and losses necessarily. But it's a chance for coaches to get a really feel, really good feel for what guys are capable of, how they act in situations where they fail, who can perform in certain situations. And it's a huge part of team development. It's a huge part of your preparation for the spring. And it's a wildly important window for college baseball programs. And it's the fall is long. Like, 45 days of just practicing is a long window, where you don't really have that outside competition. And it can be an eye-opening experience for guys when they first step on campus, because it's certainly something that they've never experienced with that level of intensity on a day-to-day basis. And then the sheer level of commitment from an hour's perspective that you're going to be required to undertake. So the fall, I think, pretty much hammered that home. And then you've got the spring season, which simply put is 56 games. But I think when you break it down, it's a little bit more complex. So I want to kind of take that to a little bit different level mathematically here. In 2026, they just passed, you're now going to have 35 days of practice, or 35 days prior to your first game where you can practice, which will amount to roughly 30 practices. During that window, you're probably going to get, you know, anywhere from 12 to 15, maybe 18 lifts during that window. And then you actually get into your gameplay, which is going to basically be February 14th to May 18th. You're going to have 56 games packed into 94 days. You'll have 13 days off, roughly. You'll practice roughly 25 times, and you're going to lift anywhere from, you know, 25 to 35 times, depending on schedules and travel and all that kind of stuff. That's not even taking into account travel for away games, travel for weekend series. And that window of time is for a freshman, is the most baseball you'll play in a 3-month period. Up to that point will be the most you've ever played in your life. And if you're a school from the Northeast, we've talked about this, those first 4 weeks, like, you're living out of a suitcase. You're traveling on Thursdays, you're lifting Thursday, you're practicing Thursday. When you get to your location, you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're traveling back on Sunday. You got an off day Monday, practice Tuesday, game Wednesday, travel Thursday. You do that for a month. And it's a lot, and it's taxing. Physically, it's taxing mentally. And this is where guys really get tested on kind of their fortitude and their ability to go through this process. And it's something I think guys need to be aware of. They need to understand that during this window, the only thing that matters is wins and losses. And coaches are going to play guys that can help them win. They're going to give guys opportunities when the time calls for it. And it's on the player to capitalize in those moments. And be able to carve out a role for yourself early on in the season or when your name is called upon. But this window is intense. It's obviously what you work for and you work towards with all that stuff that we talked about in the fall. But that 56 game season, your freshman year, it's something you've never experienced as a player before. And there's a lot that has to happen during that window, because all the stuff we talked about with class and study hall and nutrition and sleep, that stuff doesn't go away. Now you add on all the travel. You add on the fact that you're 7 p.m. first pitch on Friday at home. You're at the field at 1 o'clock. You're not leaving till 10 o'clock. Like, these days get long. They're going to test you mentally, and they're going to test you physically.
Yeah, I think the spring season, and it's not hyperbole to say that, like, it's over in the blink of an eye. right? Like the older you get, like anything else in life, it seems like it goes faster. But I'll never forget my freshman year. I was talking to Moose, and I was like, "Yo, what's the season like?" Like the fall was a lot. Like, what's the season look like? He's like, honestly, dude, it's going to be over before you even know it. Like, you're going to look up and it's going to be May. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And like, dude was dead on. Like, it goes so fast between travel, class, practice, games. Like, before you know it, it's end of April, beginning of May. The semester's winding down. You got finals. And you're like, yo, where did this semester go? Where did the season go? And I think that, you know, it's one of those things that when you can do it correctly and you do a good job at it, and the earlier you can, you know, kind of grasp it, is that, yeah, it is a lot, right? And like, that's part of the reason why we're talking about this. But it's also the old adage of like, you know, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. You take it a day at a time. You know, on your off days, try to get as much work as you can get done from a school standpoint to set you up for the rest of the week. You know, look a little bit ahead. Like, yeah, I got a paper due in 2 weeks. Like, let me get a little bit of a jump start on it now so that I'm not scrambling on Wednesday night when I get home from, you know, we're playing an away game that night. We're not going to get home until 10 o'clock. And this thing's due at 10 o'clock the next morning. And I haven't even started this 5-page paper, you know. And, you know, then it makes it a little bit easier to go to lift. Then it makes it a little bit easier to go to practice. You know, and I'm a big proponent of, you know, when you go to practice and you go to games, like that's the only thing that you need to focus on. Nothing else in the world matters at that point in time. It's kind of your little sanctuary to get away from things, you know. So it's the ability to be able to kind of compartmentalize a lot of that stuff when you get to the college baseball season, because you have to be able to put class in a box when you're not on the field. You have to be able to put the field and your gameplay in a box when you're in class, because you can't necessarily be worrying about all of those things and think that you're going to be able to do well in both, you know. So it's a lot, you know, and at the Division I level, which we played, like it's 56 games, a lot of travel. Like, you live out of bag for the first 5-6 weeks of the season. Like, you're leaving Thursday night, coming back late Sunday night, early Monday morning, and doing it all over again. Right. And, you know, Division II is not necessarily that much different. You know, they play four less games, but they can fire up a lot earlier. I believe February 1st is their start date as a division. You know, Division I is February 14th this year. So you got a 2 full week jump on what they do there. You know, Division III, like, depending on what it is, that how the fall is set up, like, they get 19 weeks to use how they see fit. You know, the old kind of, what used to happen was you'd get 4 weeks in the fall and then 15 weeks in the spring. Now that you can kind of use your weeks how you want, you know, most, you know, some programs have stayed 4 and 15. Some have gone 5 and 14, depending on if they're a Northeast type school. Like, yeah, we can't really get outside and do much. Like, instead of staying inside for 5 extra weeks, like, we'll just do 4 extra weeks because that's all we need. And some schools have kind of gone the other way and gone like 3 weeks in the fall and then 16 in the spring because they can get out and start a little bit earlier. So, you know, it depends on what they do, but like, it's all relative to the time that you're going to be playing games. Like, if you get 15, 16 weeks in the spring, like postseason, that's still 4 months of gameplay and practice and lift and everything else it is that you have to do. So it's still a long time. You know, it's just a little bit less from a gameplay standpoint before you get the postseason. So, you know, there's a lot that goes into your seasons depending on the division that you're in. You know, but I think one of the biggest things that guys need to be able to understand and get good at is being able to kind of compartmentalize, you know, where they're at and what they're doing. You know, when you're studying, when you're hanging out, you're hanging out. When you're on the field, that's what we're worried about. When we're at class, like, that's what I'm worried about. So, you know, that can make your life exponentially easier, you know, when you're in the throes of the season, because it can, you know, you catch yourself on a 2 week away stand where you're away Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you come back, and then you're away on Tuesday or Wednesday midweek, and then you come back, and then you're gone again for the following week. Like, you blink and it's like, yo, where did these last 2 weeks go? I'm behind on work. Like, I got a lot of stuff I need to get ahead of. So, you know, being able to kind of look forward from a class standpoint and study hall standpoint, because, you know, guys get jammed up there, right? Like, yeah, all these away games, I didn't get my study hall hours in, and then that gets you in trouble. Well, like, everyone else got it done. Why didn't you? You know, so being able to kind of you know, plan out and time manage what it is that you need to do will make your season not only from a baseball standpoint better, but also from an off the field standpoint too.
Yeah, and I think this is a good segue into, you know, you're a high school kid and you're going through this process and you're trying to get recruited. You now have a decent understanding of kind of what it looks like. I think you need to turn the mirror on yourself and go, all right, well, college baseball players are lifting 25, 30 times during their season. How many times are you going to lift during your high school season?
Right.
Like you, if you're a player going through this, it's hard enough as it is. It's competitive enough as it is. But if you want to get to where your goal is to play college baseball, you need to start acting like a college baseball player. One, it will harden you for the eventual schedule that you're going to have to undertake when you get there, but it's the only way that you're going to find out how good you can be in this. And that weight room piece, are you taking care of your body? Are you doing the right things from a sleep perspective, nutrition? That's all a huge part of what college baseball has become. It wasn't as prevalent when we were playing. It wasn't harped on nearly as much as it is now. Although, you know, we lifted constantly and nutrition. I mean, I don't know if anybody really talked to us about that much, but in today's game, that's a separator for guys. And if you're 16 years old and you're listening to this and you're getting ready for your high school season, you need to find a way to mix in a couple lifts a week. You need to find a way to make sure that you're going to peak in the summer when most of the recruiting is going to happen. And it's the bare minimum when you get to college. And I think that's the hard thing for people to wrap their head around is what we're talking about. The 45 practices in the fall, the 56 games, the practices and the lifts. That's the absolute bare minimum. That's what everybody has to do. Most guys are actually doing more. And if you're a high school player, you got to ask yourself that question. Am I doing enough? Am I doing what a college baseball player would be doing? Because if you want to get there, that's the mindset that you have to have. We didn't even get into most guys from a position player standpoint. You're going to finish up your season. If you finish up your season May 18th, right? You know, say you go the following week, say your team make the conference tournament, you finish up on the 25th. You don't go to the NCAA tournament. You probably got 10 days before you report to summer ball where you're going to play another 40 games. And this happens for 4 years. It doesn't stop.
Yeah, I think the summer ball thing too, like that's great point to emphasize this. Like you're rolling straight out of season and into summer ball. You know, I remember my my junior year, I think I caught like 47 games and then rolled into summer ball and caught another like 38. Like I remember coming back in the fall and heels being like, yo, we're not going to have you catch that much this fall. Like you need a break. I was like, thank you. But like it's there's a lot of truth to it. Like it's now the flip side to it, and I'm not patting myself on my back. I wasn't some great, phenomenal, you know, amazing college baseball player. But like I spent a lot of time in the weight room and did those things so that my body could hold up for those things. Like, you know, a lot of people would break. Like if I was a freshman, if I left my freshman year and did that, there's no way my body would hold up. Like it just wasn't there. There's no way my body broke down my freshman year, to be completely honest. You know, so like that's where that precipitated me to getting in the weight room more and doing a lot of the things that I need to do to take care of it. But you know, you're dead right. Like you're going, you know, and for some guys, you know, like in my world when I was at RPI, like there's a fair amount of guys that are going and doing full summer internships where they're working 9 to 5 the entire summer. You know, and that's a component of this too. Like some people might not be playing baseball, but they're doing, you know, they're working 9 to 5 and then trying to play in a men's league or, you know, go to the gym and get their throwing in and get their hitting in and find that stuff. Like it doesn't necessarily just stop in the summer. They're like, you're going to be doing something that is going to be either aiding your professional career or aiding your college baseball career during the course of that summer.
Yeah, the days of going on 10-day European vacations are over when you get into college baseball, especially if you're super serious about it. You know, and if you're playing Division I, the expectation is you're going to go play summer ball and you're going to play 50 games, 40 games. You know, and you start to think about that, you got your 56 games in the spring, call it 40 in the summer. That gets you to 96. That's not counting anything postseason. And then you got the 45 days in the fall where you're gonna inter squad probably 3 days a week for 6 weeks, call it.
Mm-hmm.
You're well over 100 games that you're gonna play. And I know travel baseball gets crazy sometimes, but never. You're doubling the amount of volume that you've had when you get to college baseball. In that first year is a wild ride.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've never been conditioned to do it. You've never been asked to show up. And summer ball is a completely different bear because you don't practice.
No, you just play every day.
6 days a week, baby. Showing up to the field, you're going to go through your pregame routine. You're going to do BP. You're going to throw. You're going to do all that kind of stuff. It's a completely different animal. It's really cool because you kind of feel like a professional. Because you play a lot of night games and like yep. It's cool, but you don't get breaks.
Mm-mm.
6 days a week. And you're going to do that for 6 weeks, maybe seven in the summer. And
then you're going to go home for a week or two and then you're back on campus.
And then you're back on campus. And when you show back up on campus, you need to be physically ready to go through another cycle, which is why we had Nunzio on. It's why we had Dan Taylor on. Like the weightlifting and the conditioning, it is so vital to being able to put the best version of yourself on the field on a day-to-day basis. The fact of the matter is you get 2 weeks into the season, nobody feels 100%. Everybody's nicked up. You got bumps, you got bruises, you got muscle pulls, arm soreness, back soreness, whatever it is. But the only way you can show up at the highest percentage of your capacity is if you give your body a chance to recover, you maintain the strength that you have. And I cannot harp enough for the high school kids and the parents who are listening to this. That has to be a core component of everything that you're working towards. Skill acquisition in baseball is very doable. Reps are easy to come by off a hidden machine, off a tee. All that stuff is easily replicated in a reps type of scenario. But if you're not physically strong enough and you're not physically capable of making it through a long season, all that skill acquisition doesn't matter all that much because it's eventually going to go to the wayside because you're not physically going to be prepared to show up and do it at a high level on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's paramount. You know, so I think that there's, you know, the hopefully we opened some eyes on what this looks like to be a college student athlete and play baseball. You know, but there's the summer component is huge. I'm glad you brought that up. That is something that kind of slipped my mind there for a second. But, you know, that's a huge piece of what goes on.
It's awesome. I would never trade it in for anything, but it's a lot. And you have to love working at it. Like you have to love doing the stuff that's hard, right? Getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go lift is not easy doing it 5 days a week. That's what we used to do at Marist. 6 a.m. lift Monday through Friday in the off season. That's not an easy thing to do, but if you want to find out how good you can be, like that's the type of stuff that you have to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruffle any feathers out there with the people about the early morning lifts, but you know, it's a fact of the matter. It happens.
And I think you have to keep in mind that like, you know, there's, you know, unless you're playing at an SEC, ACC, Big 12 school, like most schools have one weight room and there's 20 teams. They all have to lift. So finding time to do that, like there's only you know, so many hours in the day. So it, and everybody wants the same times. So you're going to have to make some concessions here and there. We're like, yeah, the fall we lifted at 6 a.m. Like, is what it is. It's, you know, in the spring.
Coach to prevent.
Yeah, some tomfoolery.
Tomfoolery.
Yeah, some tomfoolery. Yeah. I mean, I used to put it on the practice plan. No tomfoolery. You know, if we won the weekend on a Sunday, like, hey, you can have some tomfoolery tonight. But, you know. But, I, you know, it's, you know, in the spring, generally, like, you do get more hours that are conducive to your schedule because it's, you're in your season and there's things going on. Like, you know, and it's, it you know, it's a little different in baseball where, like, we're weather dependent, right? So, like, we might be scheduled to lift on Tuesday at 11, but we just moved a game away from Wednesday to Tuesday and we're leaving at 10:30. So, like, you know, it might become like, hey, if you don't have class and you want to get a lift in, go ahead. Or like, hey, we were, you know, Wednesday was going to be super light. We moved that lift to Wednesday. And, you know, so you got to be a little bit more flexible that way. You know, so it can be a little, it gets a little different there. But, you know, you'll still be able to kind of work out.
Anything else you want to add to the kind of the day in the life or the season in the life of a college baseball player?
I think the only thing that I would add is that, you know, you want to keep the course, especially mentally, because it can get tough. You know, and you have to keep in mind as a player that you're always being evaluated no matter what, whether it's a practice, game day, in the dugout, whatever, you're being evaluated by the coaching staff. And that could be that, like, if you take days off and you put together 2-3 days of just really not being good, that might be the difference between you getting in a game and not, because you just decided that you're frustrated and you don't know, you know, you don't want to put forth any effort. Like, that opportunity is going to go to somebody else when it could go to you. You know, so I think that's one thing, especially for younger kids that are coming from places where, like, you've always been the guy. And look, you get to college, man, like, everybody was the guy somewhere. You know, the pool's smaller, you know, so you got to make sure. And, like, sometimes you're not ready and that's okay, you know, but you want to make sure that you're putting forth the effort every day to make sure that you are getting to be the best version of yourself. So when those opportunities come, you can do something with those opportunities, because promise you go bang out one or two hits in some of those opportunities, like, that starts to turn the tide a little bit of, like, all right, like, put him in those games. He got some hits. Like, let's see what he can do. And you get a spot start and then you bang out 3 or 4 hits and a guy gets injured. Like, now you're in the lineup and all it was just showing up every day, ready to rock and roll. And that can be really hard to do when you're not used to not playing. And, you know, the guys that can figure that out and bring it every day and have the energy and try to get better are the guys that generally are going to find a lot more success earlier on in their careers and be able to play a lot more over the course of their 4 years.
Well said. Well, I think that covers it for tonight's episode. Thank you for listening, everybody. Hopefully you learned something. Obviously an important topic that we thought was worth some time to discuss. College baseball is awesome, but it's also not easy and it's not for everyone. But if you want to undertake exactly what we talked about, it's 100% worthwhile. And I suggest that you start to act like a college baseball player sooner rather than later, and give yourself the best chance possible to get there. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Tune in next week for another episode, and we will talk to you then. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.